Yeah, hi, this is Brett White from the Being Leaders podcast, and welcome to season two. You know, I'm really excited about this season where I've been having some incredible conversations with some amazing young and emerging leaders from around the world, in Cambodia, in London, in Melbourne, in Sydney, sharing their stories, their insights, their limits, their learnings, and their challenges of their leadership journey so far. So thanks for joining us, and I know you'll get great value from these emerging, young, and inspiring leaders from around the world. This week's special guest is Lou Keck, all the way from Melbourne, Australia. And Lou is an incredible young leader who is passionate about communication, leadership, human connection, and never-ending learning. She's an experienced facilitator working with individuals and groups to overcome challenges and to get the most out of work and life. She works for Reach and Wake by Reach, and in that context, works with teams across corporate Australia, across sporting, government, and university sectors to help individuals get the most out of work. We had a great conversation about using your voice, receiving feedback, taking risks, results versus relationships, and a whole bunch more. A great chat with a great young leader. Well, welcome everybody to the Being Leaders podcast. It's great to have you with us today. And it's great to have as my special guest, Aunt Lou, who I've known for a few years, and it's great to have her with us. And welcome, Lou.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So just to get the ball rolling, you know, we're all super curious about your story, about your kind of leadership journey so far, to give us a little bit of context on, you know, who you are and what you do in the in this kind of leadership space.
Sure. So I suppose in my day-to-day, I have a leadership role in within my organization. So I'm the head of participation at the Reach Foundation, which is a new role for me, but one that I'm loving and can kind of speak a bit about if that comes up. But I suppose when it comes to talking about my leadership story and my experiences with leadership, I'd probably go back to when I was a lot younger, when I was in high school, and I suppose I was not necessarily the type of person that would be seen as a leader. I was never like a school captain or anything like that. I kind of was probably really jealous of people that were seen that way. But I acted too cool and acted like I didn't really care. Deep down, I think I really admired something about how bold people were to want to step up and be seen that way and to really wear their heart on their sleeve and show that they cared about things. But for me, my experience at school was very much that I wasn't going to act that way. I was probably more likely to sort of be making fun of the people that were putting their hands up to do it. And I suppose because of that, my real experience with leadership first experience with leadership was a moment at school when there was something playing out that I wasn't really comfortable with. I think one of the sort of girls that I was friends with was saying some really awful things to another person in the group, and all of us were just sort of standing by listening, and I was getting increasingly uncomfortable with what was going on, but my kind of norm was just to go along with it. Yeah. So I remember this one day in particular quite clearly of something snapping within me and just thinking, okay, I've got to say something, and kind of just blurting out that I wasn't comfortable with what was going on and saying that she basically had to stop what she was doing. And I pretty much like stood up, said it, and then like ran to the other side of the school. And I had this sinking feeling in my stomach. I was so sort of that regret of like, oh, why did I do that? She's going to make my life impossible from now on. This was a big mistake. And then getting to the other side of the school and turning around, and everyone else that had been sitting there at the table had stood up and they'd followed me. And they were like, oh my God, I can't believe you did that. That was amazing. It's not like at the time I was like, oh, I'm a leader or anything like that. But it's probably like looking back, that's the type of leadership that I connected to. It was more about saying the things that people were too afraid to say and standing up for others. So that's probably like my earliest
Do you think that that was a bit of a defining moment for you?
I think so, for sure. I really recall quite strongly that feeling of relief, but also just, yeah, it was an amazing feeling just to turn around and realize that I'd actually done something that meant something to other people. And yeah, that it was worth it. So
do you feel that part of your kind of leadership style, or the what just your people style, is around kind of that justice, you know, speaking up for those that can't speak up for themselves, like using your voice, you know, advocacy? Has that kind of been a bit of a pattern over your kind of years in leadership?
I think it has been. I think particularly as a sort of younger person growing up within, so I was really connected with the Reach Foundation, which is where I work now. And so I was working as a volunteer crew member and then training to be a facilitator. And particularly in the early years there, I was very self-conscious. So I rarely spoke. And I was just so critical of myself and everything that I had to say. But I remember a few key moments of that similar kind of feeling of just blurting things out. Like I couldn't sort of hold them in, or saying what I really thought about things and other people being like, oh, I'm so glad you said that. That was how I was feeling too. And so I think that sort of has been a bit of a pattern.
So would you look back and you not see yourself sometimes as that kind of the typical what we expect a leader to be? So there's something quite different about the way that you bring, you know, your leadership to the table?
Yeah, probably. I think probably as I've gotten older, I maybe fit the norm a bit more, and probably my day-to-day looks a bit more like what you might expect stereotypically a leader to look like. But particularly, when I was younger, and I remember going for, we have an internal accreditation process that's quite brutal. You have to get all of these performance reviews and kind of make yourself quite vulnerable in saying, I'm ready to step up to this next level. And I got knocked back from that quite a few times. And I remember being given the feedback, and I'm sure my brain is probably remembering it slightly differently to how it was delivered. But my memory was being told, we just don't think you're a leader yet. And I really felt like I was doing all the things that I was supposed to be doing as a leader at that point. And it really stung, but it was probably some of the best feedback I could have got, because I, it made me really think about what leadership actually meant to me. And I think I kind of was copping out a little bit in saying, oh, but I'm doing all these things and that's enough to be a leader. But really there was more to be done. And I need to think about it a bit more.
Just curious for others that are listening that aren't aware of the Reach Foundation. I worked at the Reach Foundation for a couple of years, so I'm very aware. So just explain a little bit about, like, one, what you do as a facilitator. And then I'm also curious to know, how old were you when you kind of made that step from, you know, facilitator in training, as Reach call it, then into that role of facilitator, where you went through that experience of receiving, you know, pretty intense feedback?
Sure. So to explain Reach, we're a not-for-profit youth organisation based in Australia. We run programs for young people, usually around in their teenage years, but we work with young people as young as 10 through to when they're around 25. And we run pretty intensive and engaging personal development experiences that improve the social and emotional well-being of young people. One of the unique things about Reach is that all of our programs are delivered by other young people for young people. So we recruit people when they're about, you know, 15, 16, 17. We put them through this leadership development training and facilitation training. And then so when they're in their sort of late teens, early 20s, they're actually the ones going out to schools and communities to run the work.
It is so unique. It's also one of the things I loved about Reach was, you know, that young people are the ones delivering the workshops and the training to other young people. It's great. And the ones that are writing and designing the content. It's very cool.
Yeah, it's amazing. I still feel so lucky that I'm a part of the organization and I got the experiences that I did. I got involved when I was, I mean, I had a workshop at school when I was about 16 and I really loved it. I got involved in the career leadership program when I was in doing year 12, so when I was about 17. And I kind of, that step up that you mentioned, so stepped up into being a facilitator when I was probably, I think, about 24. So, yeah, around that. So that was about 5 years ago now.
Okay, so for a young person stepping up into a, you know, a higher level of leadership and then making themselves quite vulnerable and open to receiving pretty honest feedback and from peers as well. What, you know, how does that help shape you? Because I think, you know, I find sometimes young people are quite resistant to feedback, particularly personal feedback about, you know, behaviors or, you know, how I turn up, how I show up. And it does take some courage, some bravery, I think, to put yourself out there like that. But, you know, obviously, you know, the outcome of that, you know, is the proof of the fact that you're still doing work with Reach. But I'm curious, as a young person, you know, in that age, how can we help other young people, I guess, that are not in Reach environments to be able to be open to that kind of feedback?
Yeah, it's a good question. I really struggled with it. And there were times where I think I mentioned I got rejected a few times going for this accreditation, and I really withdrew and I didn't really want to be involved. I took it so personally, the sort of rejection, and I found it really hard to separate feedback on my performance from sort of feedback on my worth as a person. Yeah. I think that's what a lot of people struggle with is being able to separate that it's really just there to help you be even better. Yes. It's not a message that you're wrong or that you have less value as a human being. But that's sort of how I think I took it. I had quite a fixed mindset as well about what I was good at, and I didn't really necessarily want to do the work to grow and to be better. So it took time. I think young people really need a lot of coaching and a lot of nurturing through that experience, and just for that to sort of be reinforced that this actually isn't really about you. I mean, it's about you and it's about what you can do, but the feedback is just there to make you grow and to help you to be even better. It's not a values judgment about who you are and what you bring.
And I would agree. I think one of the challenges is separating the feedback, you know, from our worth and value as a person and seeing it, you know, maybe it's a fixed mindset, but sometimes I think just our perception of feedback is quite negative. And as you say, there's that tendency to take everything personally as opposed to seeing that feedback as an opportunity for growth and to be a better human, you know, a better leader. But I don't know whether that ever changes. Even now, and you know, over 50s for me, I still wouldn't say that I love hearing critical or you know negative feedback about you know who I am, what I'm doing, etc. But I have learned, I guess, to invite that feedback in because I know the value that that brings to me as a person and as a leader, and would love to see a more openness to feedback in senior leaders as well as young emerging leaders. But I do think it's a challenge for all of us, regardless of where we're at, to sometimes separate that this isn't about my worth and value as a person. It's actually about me being better, me improving, me growing. This is a growth opportunity, a learning opportunity as opposed to, but yeah. It's still hard, right?
Yeah. And I think it's even harder when it's feedback about your leadership skills because, you know, getting feedback on something that's more technical, like, you know, your writing ability or something like that, that's easier to separate. But I think inevitably when it's about your leadership style or the way that you're managing or leading others, it's really hard not to take that personally.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think building resilience you know, that's something that's come up a lot in some of these conversations I've had with younger leaders is how do we build resilience as young people? There's been some research and reports come through saying that, you know, the younger generation now is the least resilient generation, you know, that we've ever had. You know, I'm not sure how they, you know, measure that, but, you know, part of me goes, yeah, I can see why, I can see that in particularly in certain areas and or certain contexts at least. But yeah, how do we build that resilience so that we are able to receive critical feedback for growth?
Yeah.
How do we deal with setbacks? You know, you talked about, and as much as it was hard at the time for you to be rejected from that kind of next level, I also think it's one of those things that actually really helps shape us and build that sense of resilience. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's the statement you made, like that today's young people are the least resilient generation. It sounds like such a loaded or sort of full-on statement, but I've done a lot of research into this just in my role now in looking at generational differences between leaders. And it's very interesting, like a lot of the stats are showing that today's young people are just engaging in sort of measured risk-taking at a lot lower levels than generations that came before. So they're doing things like just getting their driver's license a lot later than their parents' generation or, you know, the millennial generation did. Dating later. They're kind of a little bit more scared to engage in some of those behaviors than previous generations. I mean, I'm a sort of younger millennial and I feel like when I was growing up, it was like, I can do anything that I want to do, get out of my way. You know, I loved sort of taking risks and I made big mistakes as well, but I learned from them. And I think that with today's young people, if there is that fear there, those are the moments where you grow. It's where, you know, you get your heart broken and it really sucks, but you actually grow from that and you build your resilience from that. But you can't have those moments unless you're kind of putting yourself out there a little bit.
Yeah, I do think we all try to avoid pain as much as possible. And therefore, I think sometimes that does hold people sort of in their kind of comfort zone, less willing to step out, try new things, take a risk. It is interesting just, you know, looking at all the kind of, as you said, like the differences generationally.
Yeah.
But I think trying to encourage our young people to be a little bit, I mean, a lot of them are obviously, but that courageous, building resilience, taking a risk, stepping out of your comfort zone. I think one of the gifts that Reach brings to young people is that, you know, facilitating, being in some of the workshops that Reach done, you know, it's all about, you know, facing your fear, stepping out of your comfort zone, taking a risk and actually learning about yourself so that you can be, I guess, the best that you can be in your context.
And I mean, that point that you made, we all naturally try to avoid pain. There's been so much pain in the world, particularly over the last 2 years, but even before that. So I think that makes you even more not want to seek out these moments outside your comfort zone. It's like, oh, I'm just exhausted by, you know.
Yeah, I can't deal with another setback because the freaking world has set me back for the last 2 years or whatever. Yeah, no. Not true. Mm-hmm. I definitely agree with that. So for you personally, what has been your sort of biggest challenge, do you think, as a kind of young, emerging, evolving leader?
I think I was kind of searching for a more, I was judging my answer there and trying to search for something more interesting, but maybe I'll just go with what came to me, which was actually to take myself more seriously. I think I've had pretty big imposter syndrome. I've often thought, well, who am I to say this or do this? I've got, you know, there are people that are way more qualified than me, blah, 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 blah. I think a lot of people can relate to imposter syndrome, but
absolutely.
I think it's actually just been like, no, you actually really know what you're doing. And yes, you've got a lot to learn and that's great, but you're as qualified as anyone to really step into leadership and to make the decisions you need to make and to lead people
Do you think the kind of imposter syndrome idea is one of those things that kind of limits us then? We sort of like put a limit on ourselves in our kind of function or growth or development as leaders?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I don't think imposter syndrome is limited to young people. I've heard people at all stages of life refer to challenges with imposter syndrome. I think it's a huge limit that we place on ourselves.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that we were talking about before that actually stops us, you know, stepping out, taking on more responsibility, you know, saying yes and then trying to work out how. I think it sort of connects then to becoming a bit of a fear, as you kind of mentioned before.
Mm.
But, yeah, it's definitely not isolated to young people. And I think, you know, I guess the thing that by being on this kind of self-awareness journey for you, and I know that it's part of the Reach kind of leadership development process, is all around self-awareness and understanding yourself, is such, you know, a gift, because there's a lot of people that are not aware that they have these beliefs about themselves that are limiting them. So I think having that awareness is such a key in development, you know, of us as people and as leaders.
Yeah, absolutely. Once again, I'm just so grateful for the development that I got at Reach, and I want any young person who wants it to be able to access it.
So what do we need to do differently? Like, I think, you know, there's a lot of a lot of young people out there that will not get the Reach experience. And I think we'll be working in, you know, corporate, not-for-profits, you know, big organizations, small companies, where senior leaders, you know, hold a lot of weight and power and control. What do you think senior leaders need to do better or different when it comes to developing younger leaders?
I think a lot of things. You and I were chatting earlier about, I guess, a bit of a belief that sometimes senior leaders have around that they need to be really results driven and that they need to deliver and be very task focused. And even now, as I step into more of a formal leadership role where I have a lot more responsibilities and I do need to deliver and get results in my job now, I can really see how easy it is for that to just consume your focus. And, you know, everything else is like a nice afterthought, but the key thing is to get the results. And so I think that the challenge for senior leaders is to get the results and to be able to do that, but to also make time to develop your people, to develop your own sense of self-awareness, to reflect on your experiences and to get learnings from them and to provide that coaching to your young team members and help develop their leadership as well. I think a big thing that I also see is that when you are a senior leader and you've worked really hard to get to the position that you have, it also can be hard to empower young people because you're handing over a lot of trust to them as well, that they're going to be able to deliver at the standard that you need to get your results or to deliver on your bottom line or whatever it is. So part of it is that senior leaders also need to take a bit of a risk in empowering their young people and giving them more responsibility and actually seeing what they're capable of and in a way that feels nurturing and that will help them grow, not just absolutely freak them out as well. So I think there's a lot of coaching that needs to happen in the workplace. And I think there needs to be opportunities carved out for young people to have opportunities to step up.
Yeah. It's interesting having these conversations with younger leaders. One of the things that I've realized is a lot of the focus on leadership in the past has been around technical skill or the leadership skills that make a great leader. What I'm finding more and more in what young people are looking for and need in their senior leaders and even to be developed in themselves is more around leader behavior. So less about, you know, what you do, but more and more about actually how you do it and who you are as a person while you do it. And so things like, you know, vulnerability and curiosity and nurturing and coaching and seem to be, you know, a lot of the key words that I'm hearing from younger leaders about who they want to be, but also about what they want to see in their, you know, their senior leaders. Mm. How does that kind of sit in your kind of, because I know some of the work that you've done with Reach is within the corporate space. So I'm curious to know.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So one of the areas within Reach that I look after is our social enterprise, Wake by Reach, which delivers training and experiences, personal to professional development experiences for corporate clients, and with all revenue through that work going back into support Reach's work with young people. And a lot of the work that Wake does is with graduate groups, so delivering exactly the sort of training that you mentioned for those cohorts, looking at who they are, how they show up at work and in their life, developing their self-awareness, their sense of resilience, and their leadership skills as well, which has been a really exciting and fun part of my role. So I think that I think it kind of makes a lot of sense that that's what the next generation of young leaders are looking for, because technology has replaced a lot of those technical skills. You know, they're sort of, I mean, and obviously it's different across industries, but for a lot of industries, you know, technology's taken over a lot of those tasks that might have taken a really long time to develop previously. And what is left is more the sort of soft, well, I prefer the term human skills rather than soft skills, Yeah, I just think they're going to become increasingly more important, because they'll just make up more of the work experience, is those things that a computer can't do. So your ability to build relationships, your ability to communicate ideas, to think creatively, to be innovative, they're all the sorts of skills that computers are not going to be able to do as well as humans.
It's interesting that I think the three common things, and you've kind of touched on a couple of these, that young people are looking for in their own kind of leadership journey would be, so one would be opportunity. And so the opportunity to have a voice, to have a seat at the table, to be in that decision-making kind of space. But then obviously with that, they also need permission. So permission to fail, permission to get it wrong, permission to dream. And then the third sort of theme that comes out after kind of opportunity and permission is this whole idea of being connected to a cause, like feeling like there's this, they don't just want to turn up and do a job, they actually want to turn up and be a part of something that's somehow making a difference in the planet. How does with your experience working with young people, but also with, you know, young adults, does that seem to be an alignment that you would see out there?
Yeah, I was actually thinking about that as you were saying opportunity and then you said permission, because I think they have to go hand in hand. Okay, I think I've seen lots of, you know, with our youth participation model at Reach, we always have young people within the leadership team and kind of as part of those conversations. And I often observe that it can take a long time for young people to find their voice in those environments. So they've got a seat at the table, but that doesn't necessarily mean they feel like they have the permission to speak as well. So I think it's actually, and I think that can be a bit frustrating as a senior leader, where you're like, all right, we've brought you here, like just contribute if you've got something to say. But, you know, you actually need to go to them first and say, hey, what do you think about this? I'm really interested in your point of view, and make sure that everyone listens as well. And I think that that kind of helps to develop that too.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, I think they go hand in hand. But, and you're right, feeling connected to a cause and not like it's just completely pointless showing up each
about,
day.
Yeah, it's not just about the pay packet or climbing the corporate ladder.
Yeah. And that, you know, that's easier to find if you're in working in the world of not-for-profits in certain organizations. But I think it still absolutely can be developed in corporate organizations as well. And often that's within relationships, you know, that you build with your team and with your managers and with your clients or whoever it is.
So as a young person stepping into this, you know, this new leadership role that you described a little bit before at Reach, what are some things that you feel are really important for you to live out as a leader?
Good question. I think as I said before, when you kind of step into a role that's got a lot of responsibilities and you've got kind of key targets and KPIs that you want to hit, and maybe this isn't the case for everyone, but for me, I can already feel the sort of people side of leadership and management slipping away, and I'm more focused on results. And that's something I need to be really conscious of. I was chatting with my mentor about this last week, about actually like putting it in the diary, all these kind of check-in moments and ways that I can help my team still feel connected and feel really heard and valued, because I can just see how easy it is to be like, oh, but, you know, we need to get better results here, or we need to be doing better here or there. But I do think that if I spend more time on the people aspect, then the results will naturally follow, or at least I hope that will be the case. But that's definitely sort of a focus area for me at the moment.
It's good. I think you know, someone that I was working in the sporting context said to me that if you prioritize relationships over results, and he was specifically talking about like a sporting team, coaching a sporting team, then the results will automatically come. Whereas if you just focus on results, they may not, but if you, so relationships over results was kind of his philosophy as a coach in the sporting context. And I think it's similar to what you're talking about, you know, and it is harder sometimes to manage that when there are, you know, expectations on us as leaders to deliver. And that obviously that's part of leadership, it's part of our job, but not to the detriment, I guess, of the relationships that are so important to those results that we're looking for. I know we've talked, can't believe we've nearly gone for half an hour already. and I am trying to keep these to 30 minutes. So a couple of quick kind of questions to kind of wrap us up. Two things: what has been your greatest lesson along the way, and what advice would you give to other young leaders?
My greatest lesson kind of links to what I was just talking about. I think when I was trying to understand leadership and my take on it, you know, I feel like going through school, I was kind of shown that leadership was being a school captain. Those are the leaders. Everyone else wasn't a leader. And then, so when I was trying to kind of get my own spin on it, I focused a lot on this idea that to be a leader meant to sort of lead a really fulfilling and inspired life, and that by doing so, you would sort of encourage and inspire others to do the same. And I think that was actually a bit of a cop out, because it's not just about me. It's not just about me going out and living my dreams or whatever it might be. It's really, a real leader is actively pulling up others alongside them. And so that would be the lesson for me, the learning for me, is that it's not just about me. It's about pulling up others along the way.
No, that's great. Mm. And what advice would you give to other young leaders today?
I think that the biggest tool that will help any leader, and particularly a young leader, is the development of self-awareness. And no matter how much you think, I'm really self-aware, you've always got more to develop, and it will just, I think it's the most important skill in leadership and in the development of resilience as well.
And as you said before, not just young people. but the younger you are when you start that self-awareness journey, I think the better you are off in all areas of life, whether it's relationships, work, career, leadership. You know, I think all all of that. The younger you can get engaged in that, the better.
I always come back to this quote just because I find it really funny to think about, but we ran a program for graduates a couple of years ago and it was really well received, but there was one person who didn't like it and their feedback was, I'm 22, I already know who I am, so I don't need to do this kind of work.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just was like, oh, that must be amazing to know exactly who you
imagine
are.
That. Wow, I wish I knew all that when I was 22. Would have saved me a lot of heartache and pain along the way. Well, thank you so much, Lou, for taking the time to have this chat. It's been great. You're an incredible human, and what you've been doing and my experience of working with you and alongside you, I just love what you stand for, what you represent and what you do. I'll put a link in the chat on the podcast for the Reach Foundation if people are interested in kind of knowing more about what they do. They do an incredible work with young people across Australia. But yeah, it's been great to chat, and I feel we could quite easily talk for another hour.
I agree.
And I know that you're very passionate, about seeing young people raised up, so that, they can have similar experiences to you to be able to be, the best version of themselves. So thanks heaps for your time. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you. I've loved being a part of this, and I agree. I think we could have kept talking for a long time.
thank you so much. And I'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Thank you.